Philippians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writing to this church at Philippi. And if you remember your geography, Philippi is there north of the Aegean Sea. It's to the west of Asia Minor, to the east of Greece. It's the apostle going there to Philippi as a result of that hindrance that he had going to the northeast. And as we sing about and the scriptures talk about the Apostle Paul having that vision, a man from Macedonia crying, saying, "Help, come over and help us." And the Lord opened up that door. The apostle and those who were with him looked to go to the northeast, up into the northern parts of Asia Minor, there from that western coast of Asia Minor. But the Lord worked and took him on up into Macedonia, into Thrace and Macedonia, and ultimately into Greece and in time beyond that. And this church is a result of that. You remember at this place in Philippi, we have in the accounts in the scripture in Acts chapter 16 about Lydia, who was met there by the apostle and those who traveled with him. And the Lord saved her and even seemingly some of her household were saved. And also there, Paul and Silas were put in jail for preaching and teaching about the Lord Jesus and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also that midnight shift jailer was saved. Amen. And that's interesting how that is. And the thought and the consideration for the message this morning is that how else would the Lord's messenger, the Lord's man, have met that jailer on that midnight shift? He probably sleeps during the day. And granted, he was sleeping there on the job that night. We know the scripture tells us. But the Lord works to bring his message and brings his word to sinners. And the Lord, he works in that and works in that. And we who the Lord have saved, we are found in the midst of that working. Understand that. Understand, if you claim to be a child of God, if you're saved, you're not extraneous. You're not outside the working of God and his ministry to others, but you should well be found in that fellowship. Let's read. Here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi. That's who he's writing to, is that church there, with the bishops and deacons. And so they have some leadership there also. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a greeting that's common that we find in the scriptures. And the apostle prays and desires that the favor of the Lord would continue to be upon them as it has been, that they would be peaceful and that they would have peace and rest with the Lord. And this church is suffering some things and are going through some things as it seemingly is indicated here in this epistle. I thank my God, verse number 3, he says, upon every remembrance of you, when I remember about you, I thank the Lord for you. All right? Do you have that? Do you have that in your life? Always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. And so when he prays for them, it's always a joyful time because of things that are at hand with them. Verse 5. And listen, this is our area of focus and a phrase that's here that we want to concentrate upon this morning. Verse 5. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. All right? We want to consider this morning about this fellowship in the gospel, okay? So let me back up a little bit, get the whole sentence. I thank my God, verse 3, upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making requests with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Okay? And so that's a long sentence, but we want to read that entire sentence. And we just want to consider here this morning this phrase, fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the privilege to meet with your people, your house, here today in this place, Father. You've blessed us greatly, and we praise your name for all that you've done for us. Lord, you're so bountiful and generous and gracious and merciful and loving towards us, Father. We thank you for it. We thank you most of all for salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ and for saving our souls. Lord, that you've brought us in to this fellowship of the gospel. And, oh, Father, help us that we would pursue it well. Help us we might grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Help us, Father, we all, as your children, as your sons, we might be used of you in the way that you'd be pleased, in a way that be a good witness to those that you've put in our lives, those round about us, Father, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for those that are here this morning, not saved, that you would touch them, that you would save them, that you would visit them, Lord, that they might be saved. Lord, that you would save their souls and you'd bring them into this fellowship in the gospel, Father, that you would just work as you only can. We thank you, Father, for your power, that your arm's not short, and that you are mighty, and Lord, that you are alive and well and doing that which you please. Lord, we praise your name for it, and we thank you that you are God, and beside you there's none other. Help us as we worship you. Help us as we look into your word. Father, feed us from on high, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Here, he says, this fellowship of the gospel. He brings them this greeting. He desires that they have the favor of the Lord upon them, this grace, and that they have peace amongst them. When he remembers about them, it's not a bowing of the heart. It's not a sorrowful thing when he remembers about this church at Philippi, but he remembers them, and as he prays for them in verse number 4, he makes requests, he makes supplication and petition to our Lord and God for them with joy, that they might be helped. And he says here, for your fellowship, or because of your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. There's some hallmark scriptures in this chapter, and we read it there in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's a scripture that we note and that we remember and we refer to many times. Another passage in this same chapter, verse number 21, that says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so these passages that are here, that we are hallmark passages, passages that we remember and refer to from time to time, they're here woven in this book and in this chapter, that I believe the theme of what the apostle writes to this church is that there in chapter 1, verse 5, the fellowship in the gospel. The fellowship in the gospel. And when we talk about the word fellowship, that refers to, or synonyms for this, is talking about partnership. Okay? Think about that. When we think about that word fellowship, you know, we have the fellowship hall, or the place where we meet together and visit, and we eat together, and we do things together. We talk about the fellowship that we have with brothers and sisters in Christ. We see one another again. We get to visit, all right, with one another and catch up on things and to inquire about blessings, to inquire about difficulty, to talk about how things have gone in our week or in the last few days since we've seen one another, or to ask and talk about others that we know of that you might have information about that I don't know about, and vice versa and such as that. We fellowship in the Scripture, don't we? You know, we was talking the other day about thus and so in the Scripture, you know, and the Lord showed me this, or what do you think about this? We have fellowship one with another. But it goes beyond that. Because we are partners together. We are partners together in the ministry of this church, Olmsted Baptist Church, are we not? To support it by being here in the services, to support it financially, to support it with your person and with your work in the ministries of the church. There's partnership there in that fellowship. There's also participation, as is inferred, and as we've mentioned and talk about it, you participate. Being a member of one of the Lord's New Testament Baptist Church is not a spectator sport. It's not. It should never be. We should do all that we can do And at the very least, we can be here. When we talk about the fellowship and this word fellowship, fellowship in the gospel, this word fellowship is also talking about communion. Communion. Visiting together, being together, supporting one another, and talking one another. Communication even, I believe, could be drawn into that. It's also talking about, this word fellowship is talking about distribution. All right? Distribution of something. Distributing it, putting it out. And as we consider this phrase in this passage, chapter 1, and I believe you can do so in this book, but just for this morning, this phrase, fellowship in the gospel, we're going to see different aspects of fellowship in partnership, participation, communion, and distribution. We're going to be looking for the verbs. One brother told me years ago, after I surrendered to preach, he said, as you study the Word of God, look out for the verbs, because the verbs have the action. Now, in this passage, we're going to run into some nouns, and you don't have to know about the parts of speech and the parts of a sentence structure and such as that, but there will be nouns here that refer to action, and these things are where the rubber meets the road about the fellowship in the gospel. All right? And so that's what we want to consider here this morning. And I ask the question, where do you find yourself in the fellowship of the gospel? Do you find yourself in the fellowship of the gospel? Where do you find yourself in that? Let's read on. He says here, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Lydia, think of her. The Lord opened her heart, and she believed those things which were preached. She took them to heart. So much so when the Apostle Paul and Silas were taken captive, that when the Lord worked there and the jailer was saved, and of course he helped them, took them into his own house, and then took them back to jail. There was an issue about the release that Paul kind of called them on the carpet about. And do you remember which house they entered into after they were released from jail? They went back to Lydia's house. Even though there was oppression upon the messenger of the gospel that had brought that word and had been a minister of the Lord to bring salvation to her and to her household, even though they were abused, even though it wasn't in vogue to be close to them or connected with them, she willingly brought them into her house. She was found in the fellowship in the gospel, wasn't she? And the Philippian jailer, and we know about him, when he was saved, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. It's good enough for you, and it's good enough for everybody that lives with you if they'll believe and trust in the Lord by faith, repenting of their sins, trusting in Jesus Christ, and the Lord saving them. He was there, and after he was saved, he wasn't ashamed to take them out of jail, was he? He wasn't ashamed to take them home. He wasn't ashamed to feed them. He wasn't ashamed to help them and clean them up and doctor them up. Because he had been brought into this fellowship in the gospel. When we talk about the gospel, what's that referring to? Well, it's talking about the good news. The good news, the glad tidings, namely that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God that came and became a man and lived and suffered, bled, and died, was buried, and rose again for the salvation of his people, so that sinners like you and me could be saved. So there would be a salvation, so there could be forgiveness, so there could be an atonement. This participation, partnership, communion, and distribution in the gospel, they were found faithful in it. He says here in verse number 6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's so. When the Lord works and saves a sinner, the Lord will work, and we believe that the Scripture bears out about the perseverance of the saints. The saints of the Lord, those that the Lord saves, will persevere. They will persevere until the end. It may be traumatic. It may be tumultuous. It may be filled with peril and tribulation. But as Brother Mark brought out this morning, the people of God will continue to the end. Why? Because the Lord's working in us. The Lord's working in us. I tell you, child of God, are you trying to live life for the Lord in and of yourself? Even being the child of God, you won't make it. We live this life by the power and calling of the Lord. It's the Lord that has saved us. And we're given the blessing of being able to go to the Lord in prayer to ask Him for those things which we need. And it's by His strength, it's by His ability that we can do what He has called us to do. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Amen? And that's so. And so then in verse number 7, let's look here for this fellowship in the gospel as the apostle Paul writes to them. Even as it is meet or suitable for me to think this of you all, these good things, this confidence that the Lord will bring them through, because I have you in my heart, they are dear, and they are near to Him, the word, the Lord working through His ministry, through His salvation and calling to bring them to salvation, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. We see this here. He's in bonds, he's writing to them, and he says here that this fellowship in the gospel will cause us to have a defense, okay? The gospel doesn't need to be defended as being true. But this, and Brother Stephen, I think, brought out Sunday school lessons in regards to apologetics or defense or the truth, knowing the Word of God, that we might be able to tell it forth to others and to be able to give an answer of what God has done in us to a lost and dying world. And he said here that in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. He says, here in this fellowship in the gospel, there will be an apologia. That's the Greek word, a defense, a telling forth. There will be a confirmation. Yes, the Lord saved me. And yes, the Lord can save you if you'll hear the gospel, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins. The Lord did establish His church, and He does have a ministry and work at hand. And there is a pattern and a way of God. He doesn't just leave mankind to follow after Him just willy-nilly, this way, that way, or the other way. We think of all the religions and all the denominations of the world and how they say that they are trying to find and pursue after God. And there are some that say that every way that you find is right. But yes, they're all in disagreement. Is the Lord divided? No, we're to give a confirmation that God is not divided, but that He has given us the truth in His Word. And so in the fellowship in the gospel, there will be a defense of the Word of God. There will be a confirmation of the Word of God and of the gospel unto this world. He says here, you're all partakers of my grace. God's favor on Paul. They're partakers of it. I hadn't thought about it in this way before. But see, the Lord saved Paul. And He called Paul to a ministry, didn't He? And to a service and to a work that he might be an apostle amongst the Gentiles. And from him being saved and used of the Lord, the gospel having power in his life, he was used of the Lord to carry that witness to Philippi. Because Paul had been saved, that's what he's saying. He's not talking about favor that he extends to anyone, but that you are all partakers of my grace. God's favor upon me has been a blessing unto you. Not because of the person of Paul, but because of the Lord's work and calling in him. Remember, God uses people to do His work. And He may use us up. But that's what it takes to bring it to us. Okay? And that's what the Lord orders and works. And then we see in verse 8, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of Jesus Christ. We see it again there, fellowship in the gospel. There's communion there. There's a desire there, isn't there? He says, I long after you. He thinks about them. He prays for them. He has desire for them that they might walk well and pleasing before the Lord. There is a affection there. Verse 8, for God is my record, how I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That word bowels is talking about affection. Okay, he's not saying he's got an upset stomach over them. Maybe if they were disobedient and wayward, maybe he would have some indigestion because of them. But he's not talking about that. He's talking about affection for them. And in the fellowship in the gospel, there is affection for the brethren. We know we've passed from death into life because we love the brethren. It's one aspect of salvation. We have a desire. Do you endure your brethren for the weekend service and maybe the midweek service, and that's all you can stand of them? Something's wrong. Something's wrong. We need to love our brethren and desire to be near our brethren and to fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And he longed after them. He's in jail, but he wants to go see them. He wants to go see them. Verse 9, "And this I pray, that your love may abound, and yet more and more in knowledge and all judgment." And there's three things mentioned here. He says, I pray that in this fellowship in the gospel, your agape love, your self-sacrificing love for one another would abound. I pray that your knowledge would abound. And I pray that your judgment, your discernment with the Word of God and what God teaches us, that it might abound. See, those things are found there. Those things are found there in that fellowship in the gospel. See that? How are you in the fellowship in the gospel? Do these things, are these things working in you? Remember what Jesus, and considering about this, in this particular verse here in verse number 9, his prayer is that their love would abound, and their knowledge would abound, and their judgment would abound, their discernment would abound, and application of the Word of God. I thought about what Jesus said to the seven churches in Asia Minor. So many times it's repeated there, "He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear." Do you have an ear to hear? Child of God, how are you in the fellowship in the gospel? "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Verse 10. He says here, "that ye may approve things that are excellent." See, that there's that verb approve, and things that are excellent. "That ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ." Whatsoever things are true. We sing that out of this book, don't we? In chapter 4, verse 8, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest. Are we looking for those things? Do we commend those things that are true and honest? Do we stand against those things that are false? How is it with us in this fellowship in the gospel? "That you may approve things that are excellent." That we would stand up and say, "That's right. That's what God says, and that's right." "That you may be sincere," and that it's real. Is our salvation or is our calling feigned? Do we fake it? Is it just a thin facade on the front, or is it the Lord within us? How is it? How is it with us? "They might be maybe sincere without offense till the day of Christ." Oh, that I would not be an offense because I'm Jim Duke. Jim Duke indeed can be an offense. If Christ in me is an offense, then that's the Lord's business. That's between that person and the Lord. Oh, but that I might not be an offense because of me. And that's what he's talking about, that it not be about self. See, these things are in this fellowship in the gospel. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. We're to bear that fruit, aren't we? Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, and so on. We are to bear those fruits of righteousness. That's what goes on in the fellowship in the gospel. He said, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. That's how we live. That's how we have help. The Lord Jesus doesn't save a person and say, "Okay, there you go. Have at it. Live for me." We can't. We've got to go continually to him for help. For help, for help, for help. I've told you before, my most common prayer is, "Help me." Help me. Help me with this. Help me with that. Help me with the other. But do you ask? Child of God, do you ask, "Help me"? If you don't, you're going to be found alone. But the Lord saved you. He bids you, come and ask. Come and ask. He that has numbered the hairs of our head, he cares for us. And he knows every whit and detail about it. But he does honor and does set in place that we are to ask him and petition him for what we need. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. In this fellowship in the gospel, there's glorying and praising of the Lord. Do you worship the Lord by yourself? It's just you and the Lord out there doing whatever you're doing. Do you worship and praise and glorify God just by yourself? Do you just wait for service time? It's good to do it at service time, isn't it? But do we do it other times? Do we do it during the course of the day? When we get up in the morning, when we go to bed at night, and as we walk along the day and rejoice in the Lord and His touch upon us. Fellowship in the gospel. Verse 12, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather into the furtherance of the gospel. Wow, what an attitude. That's what it took. Going and seeing Lydia was great, wasn't it? Peaceful, down by the bank of the river. It was nice down there. Even more nice if you like to fish. He was fishing after men, wasn't he? And met with Lydia there, and the Lord opened her heart. She believed. She was saved. That was pleasant. It took something else to get to the Philippian jailer, didn't it? That man needed something else. And I'm not afraid to say that, because that's what God worked to deal with that man in this life. Paul and Silas had to be down there in the middle of the jail, bound up that way. Spend some time down there singing and praising and glorifying God. And then the Lord shake that place up. And those doors get opened up. And the threat needed to be at hand that the prisoners might have escaped. And that shook that man up. Do thyself no harm. He was going to kill himself, right? That's what the Lord knew. He knew how to get a hold of him. And see, Paul, he needed to go through that for the sake of that man. For the sake of that man and his household. That man got home with these two fellows that have been beaten, whipped, and all roughed up the way they're hurt. Saying, the children are saying, what's daddy doing home with these two Jews? Right? See what I'm saying? And daddy's smiling. And daddy's rejoicing in God. These are Greeks. They're used to worshiping a bunch of gods. But now all daddy talks about is Jesus Christ. Who's Jesus Christ? Something's different in him. The man was found in the fellowship in the gospel, wasn't he? He was. He said, what's happening to me now, just like it was with you, what's happening with me now is for the furtherance of the gospel. And in the fellowship in the gospel, there's what there's going to be. There's going to be a furtherance of the gospel. We said earlier this word fellowship talks about distribution, doesn't it? Distribution, a furtherance of the gospel. Verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ. He said, I'm in jail because the Lord wants me to be in jail. He had done no wrong. He had just preached Jesus, and that got him in jail. He had appealed unto Caesar, if in fact this is when he's in jail at Rome. He'd appealed unto Caesar for the sake of being able to be a witness to those on the way. What about those Roman soldiers and all those that were on that ship that ended up being shipwrecked? And they were on that island. And the inhabitants of that island saw Paul get bit by that serpent and he didn't fall down dead. It's what they needed, that it be a witness to them of the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. See, it's about life and the rest of the time that we have, as Peter says, and living life for the sake of the Lord in the fellowship of the gospel. Not our own pursuit. Not like the sons of men, the daughters of men, Brother Mark brought out. They were just living life and living in this world to self. But in the fellowship in the gospel, we're living life to the Lord. To the Lord. And we do live life. We do have homes. We do have jobs. We do have pursuits. But the Lord's always preeminent in all of them. It's all for Him and because of Him. He says, this is going so far, verse 13, so that my bonds in Christ, they're shown forth, they're manifest in the palace and in other places. How could there ever be a witness here? Well, the Lord worked it out so there would be, didn't He? Didn't He? And there were those that were saved. Verse number 14. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in other places. This present distress has caused me to reach some that I would never would have reached. From the human standpoint, the Lord uses means. And it might be rough on my skin. And may God give me help and grace to endure that. But in the fellowship of the gospel, there's peace in it. And many of the brethren, verse number 14, in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, they see Paul with a good attitude and a right way, being yet in prison for the sake of Christ. They're given confidence and are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They preach. Some indeed preach Christ, verse 15, even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. Some are just looking to make it harder on me. He said, that's okay. That's okay. The Lord can take care of that. And then there are those that they're made confident by me being here and the Lord's blessing in it. They're waxing confident. In the fellowship in the gospel, there is a waxing confident. In Romans, it talks to that about that trial and tribulation worketh patience. James talks to us a little bit about that. And count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When I get this straight, when I get sick and it doesn't look like I'm ever going to be well again, Lord, this is an opportunity for you to shine. This is an opportunity for you to work. I'm weak. Father, when I'm weak, indeed, you manifest that you are strong. See? And so he says, some indeed, verse 15, some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, some of also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love. In the fellowship and the gospel, there's going to be a priest. Yeah, this might make it harder on Paul, but I know he's set for it, and we need to preach it. See that? Not to back off, but to go forward. The other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. There it is again, that apologia. I'm ready to defend the gospel, that the gospel is the way of life, that Jesus is the Savior, and that through repentance and faith, sinners can be saved. I'm ready. I'm ready. And in the fellowship and the gospel, there is a readiness, a love, and goodwill, and waxing of confidence in that. As we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, as we pursue it and ensue it. Again, this is not going to happen by a spectator way, just sitting back. If we don't pursue, we won't have. That's just the way it is. James says, show me your faith without your works. He says, rather, I'll show you my faith by my works. Right? And then in verse number 18, what then? Notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, he said, I'm happy about this. Christ is preached, and therein do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Because see, the power of salvation is in the Lord and in his word. It doesn't matter if a lost man preaches it. We've been given the directive to preach it as his people in his church. But it doesn't matter who heralds it forth. When the truth of God is heralded forth, the Lord can use it, and the Lord will take it and work. And he says, I rejoice in that. There's rejoicing in the propagating and the telling of the gospel in this fellowship in the gospel. Why is it that some, it seems we live in a day that there are some that are bored with the gospel? How is it that we could ever become bored, not satisfied with the gospel? Granted, there are things to learn and there are things to pursue, but can we ever take the gospel and just throw it off to the side, the gospel of Jesus Christ, and throw it off to the side and it lose its blessing and its touch? My, is there anything better than preaching about Jesus and his power to save? There is nothing better, is there? He says, therein do rejoice, and yea, and will rejoice. Verse 19, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ visits us, brings us the Word of God, the gospel, and saves us, convicts us, opens our eyes, opens our ears, The Spirit of God comes within, and that which was not important to us before becomes of utmost importance. We see our sin, we see our wickedness, we see the Savior dying for us. Nobody else comes into this picture. It's just us and the Lord. And we believe. We believe that somehow 2,000 years ago, what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary and his promises to us now is salvation. That he loved us so. That he gave himself a life, gave himself his life, his soul, a ransom for me. For me. That he died for me. And you know what that's the beginning of? That's the beginning of our salvation. Oh, Brother Jim, you're not talking about, you know, the second blessing and stuff like that, are you? No, that's salvation of the soul. But the soul is saved and the spirit is alive, but the body hadn't been saved yet. For some reason, God has purposed that he leaves us in that strait. Talked about that here recently. He saves our soul and gives us his spirit to live within, yet the body is not saved. The mind is not saved. The old man is still here with us, and we have this struggle in life to take that old man and pin him down, beat him down, and that old body, by the power of God, be used to be a witness. You can't telecommunicate your thoughts to anybody, can you? If you communicate with somebody, it's got to be with this and your conversation, right? What we do in this body, right? Amen? And so the Lord takes, and he saves our souls. He gives us the Spirit of God to live within, the Spirit of the Lord. And this old body is, by the power of God, as we submit to the Lord, yield to the Lord, seek his face, seek his help, seek his grace, seek his touch upon our lives. This old man, this old dead man is used of the Lord to be able to herald forth the truth of God's Word to others. Blessing of the Lord, this old man's trapped in the fellowship of the gospel, isn't he? And he doesn't want to. But by the blessing of the Lord, he can be. Because the Lord is bringing us. He's going to use this old, dirty, wretched man, being controlled by the Spirit of God and the working of the Lord in us. And he's going to bring us to full salvation, isn't he? We're not only, as it is now, our souls are saved and the Spirit is alive because of Christ living within, but our bodies are going to be saved. He's saying, I believe, if you will, he said, for I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He says, this is how the Lord is taking this old man and using him up for his glory and for his honor. He's going to save even this old flesh. And taking us through this life and using us this way, doesn't it redound more for the honor and glory and praise of the Lord that the Lord taken an old man, an old dead man, and by virtue of living in this physical life, using to proclaim the gospel of the Lord Jesus? When this old man knows nothing in and of himself but death, he's used of the Lord to proclaim life. And he will save even these old, vile bodies. You know what? We look forward to that in the fellowship and the gospel, don't we? Verse 20, according to my earnest expectation, he says, and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed. He's looking forward to seeing Christ and being like him one day, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. In the fellowship and the gospel, that's a desire that's at hand when we're mature, when we're walking closer to the Lord than we are the world, when we seek to desire and seek to pursue those things of the Lord. The hallmark verse, another hallmark verse that we mentioned for me is to live is Christ and to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. That's the attitude and the way in the fellowship and the gospel. But if I live, verse 22, in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. There's that fruit, fruits of righteousness, verse 11, fruit of my labor in verse number 22. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. He said, I'm in a strait. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and to be with Christ. Do you want to be with Jesus? No, I'd rather hang around for a while. Yeah, we can get into shape as the Lord's children. We can get away from the Lord and we can backslide and get away from the Lord, where that would be the answer of our hearts. And no, I don't want to leave yet. Wait a minute. You and I don't usher sooner the time of our departure. Now, indeed, we can be foolish. But don't you desire to be with the Lord? I've got things I want to do. No, leave that in the hands of the Lord. I desire to be with the Lord. He'll take care of me till the time that I need to go. That's the right attitude, I believe. He said, I'm in a strait. He's not suicidal. But he's in a strait. He said, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I have a desire to depart and be with Christ. You're in the fellowship of the gospel. We desire to be with our Lord. Don't you? I've got this I want to do and that I want to do. I know. I've been there. I understand that. Said, Brother Jim, you've lived over half your life. It doesn't matter. Even if you're young, that needs to be your attitude. And then the attitude of the apostle here, he says, but if I live in the flesh, this is a fruit of my labor. If I'm able to be used of the Lord to tell the gospel, to distribute the gospel and this fellowship in the gospel. He said, if I'm in a strait between two, having a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is far better. But listen to this. Listen to what also is here found in the fellowship in the gospel. A desire to be with Christ, nevertheless to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. You know, but it's... He's not speaking highly of himself. He's speaking of his calling. It'll be better for me to stay around for a while. Because I can be used of the Lord to minister to you. Not because of me. Not because of Paul and how great of a man he is. But because of the working of the Lord in him. See, for their sakes, he's willing to wait. He's in a strait. I want to see Jesus. But you know what? You need ministering and teaching too, he says. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy in the faith. Fellowship in the gospel. Not about self, but about what the Lord wants. Not about what we can gain for self, but even to the point of going on to be with the Lord, we say, well, there or others that need me. And that's not a heady, high-minded, cocky attitude, but that's just knowing the work of the Lord in the individual. That your rejoicing, verse 26, may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. So it'll be a blessing for us to see one another. I desire to see you. I desire to be with you. I desire for us to be able to commune together again. And that desire is there found in the fellowship and the gospel. Verse 27, only let your conversation, and that's all what takes place in that old man, right? What we think, do, and say. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it be a match. Am I a witness for the world and the way of man and the way of mankind, or am I more a witness for Christ? That whether I come and see you or else be absent, as he has been, I may hear of your affairs, I may hear of what you do, and the witness and testimony of what you do, as he already has. He says, here earlier in the chapter, he makes his request with joy, verse 4, and for their fellowship in the gospel. They've got a reputation, and it's a good reputation. May hear of your affairs, verse number 27, that you stand fast in one spirit and in one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Conviction of the gospel. Do you and I have conviction about the gospel enough to tell others that it is the Lord's power to save? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul writes, for it's the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Every time a sinner is saved, Jim's paraphrase, every time a sinner is saved, every time that faith is manifested in the sinner, it just proves it more and more and more. Are we ashamed of the power of the gospel? Oh, may God help that we not be. Because in the fellowship in the gospel, there is no shame about the gospel. Only let your conversation, verse 27, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let it be a match, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together. There's that participation in there. There's that communion. There's that distribution. There's that partnership, isn't it? One mind. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Don't be worried about them. Don't be made afraid by them, which is to them an evident token of perdition, or your perdition, how sorry this whole thing that you're caught up in is. That's what the lost and dying world looks on at the child of God and salvation and the Word of God. And just like we saw in the debate the other night with Ken Ham and Bill Nye, they just don't get it. Because the only way that a sinner can get it is by spiritual influence. Mm-hmm. Nevertheless, we've been told to tell it and stand for it. And you know what? God's promised He'll take it and use it, won't He? And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, or your craziness, or your backwoodsness, or your backwaterness, as Brother Mark mentioned this morning, but to you of salvation, and that of God. Confidence in the Lord. Yeah, it's supernatural. It's spiritual. It's a visit from God Almighty in heaven by His Son and His Spirit. The salvation of the soul. I've been forgiven. I've been redeemed. I've been made a son of God by Jesus Christ, by what He's done for me, and I know it's so. The same God that created the worlds and all that in them is out of nothing is the same God that's going to take me to glory and eternity to be with Him forever. Why? Because of what I've done? No, what Jesus did for me on Calvary. I can rest in it, and I trust in Him and know that His promises are true. I needed it. Don't you? Yes, we need the Lord Jesus Christ. For unto you, verse 29, it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, which is a great blessing, isn't it? Faith is found in the fellowship in the gospel, but also to suffer for His sake. Yes, suffering is found in the fellowship of the gospel too. It is. Having the same conflict which you saw in me, He said, you're experiencing the same things that when I was in Philippi and I experienced, you're experiencing them now, aren't you? And that's the Lord's working. Just like it took that conflict to be in me for your sakes, so that conflict is found in you for the sakes of others. Amen? That's what it is. That's what we find in the fellowship in the gospel. Having the same conflict which He saw in me and now here to be in me. He said, I had it there in Philippi. Beat and put in prison. But you know why. You know why. So you could be reached. And you know what? I'm in prison now. But you know why. So others here in Rome, if that's where He's at, others here in Rome can be reached. Right? They are themselves experiencing what Paul did while with them, some time before and presently, and that's what you find also in the fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. How is it with you? Are you in the fellowship in the gospel? Have you been saved by the Lord? Are you pursuing these things? That description of that word, fellowship, about partnership and distribution and about communion. And another word there that fails me. Are you found in that, in the fellowship in the gospel? Is the necessity of the gospel and the salvation of the Lord just to service you and to take care of you, and then you're free? Christ gave it all so we could be free. Mm-hmm. But yet the fellowship in the gospel calls us that we might be used up for the sake of others. Mm-hmm. Not live this life for ourselves, but live this life that is calling upon us unto the Lord for the sake of others. That's what Jesus did.
Okay.
Is me and I the biggest words in my vocabulary? Or do I remember what Jesus did for me and I consider about others too? That's the fellowship in the gospel.